Bonnie County, everyone. This is Professor Amon Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner and give praise and thanks to our brother Rashiki Mascani for providing us this platform, Conscious Corner, on the CEN Community Education Network platform that's here every Wednesday at 6 o'clock with educational and personal development as well as social development discussion. I want to welcome another brother Mashinda out of Louisiana, who worked with trying to just deal with his community, get them collectively understanding that they have power and that they have a duty and responsibility to do things to help the people, help the community, like vote. Your vote is not only to help yourself, but it's to help your community. All politics is local, as well as education. The primary education institution is the home. But tonight we're going to talk a little bit about culture, because there's so many different definitions of it and different perspectives of it. And culture is very important. Everything has a culture, you know, like you got certain fish that do certain things. You got certain animals, insects that do certain things. And that's the nature of their culture. But social and ethnic culture is a development. It depends on where you're located. And it depends upon the outgrowth of the family and tradition. But anyway, we're going to start with Mashinda and get a little bit about, you know, Southern hospitality, as well as how he sees culture and the role of culture, and does culture have an effect on the development of a community? Depending on what that culture is, you know, you got cultures that are righteous cultures, and you got drug cultures, and you got gang culture. And, you know, and Mashinda could tell us a little bit about the gang culture and things this next, because he worked with you. So Mashinda, how do you see culture as an instrument for development? And also some people get caught up in negative culture and activity.
All right, good evening. Yeah, well, you know, I look at culture, you know, it's a process of, you know, of learning. You know, it's about learning about, you know, and understanding and appreciating, you know, what you experience in your everyday life. You know, you walk out your door and you go to your place of work, or you go to your school, or you go to the park and things like that. And so when you go into society, I mean, it could be a predominantly Black community. It could be a mixed community. It could be half and half or whatever. But so when you partake in interaction, you know, what it's a learning experience, you know. So culture starts at your house, you know, in your family. You know, you have family beliefs and understandings and things that you learn within your household. And so that is a subculture. It's a culture that might have been passed on from generations, you know, how we eat, what we eat, how we live, how we pray, or how we meditate, or whatever. So, and then as we leave the house with our culture, in society, you interact with others. And so you're going to interact with other family cultures, the dynamics and things like that, that is relative to those upbringings. And so it's kind of a natural order of things. You know, we don't all live together in the same household. So it all comes down to a matter of respect for cultures, for things that we've learned. And as a society, as we intermingle and interact with one another and respect each other's culture, meaning that what things that have been learned, processes, you know, understanding and appreciating the differences and that, you know, one has, you know, learned. And so therefore, in a it adds to the discipline and the organization of a community when we can come together and express ourselves. And so therefore, hopefully, the common denominator is that everybody wants to add to the positive, want the community to thrive. And so, you know, Rasa Key and I were having a conversation earlier before we got started. And I was saying, you know, if you show up to the school board meeting with your ideology and with your beliefs on how things should be, you know, so, but we can all gather accordingly and express ourselves, you know, and come to a happy conclusion. That's the ultimate and the ideal goal, you know. So at the end of the day, it's learned behavior, you know, culture. You know, we like different music, we like different foods, we like, you know, and I'll leave those examples there. And so at the end of the day, how do we coexist? That's the name of the game. How do we coexist? And so we look at it on a local scale, we can look at it on a global scale, you know. Society in other countries, they have beliefs, religious beliefs, sub beliefs. Groups within other groups have their own beliefs. So it's so intricate and so, but at the end of the day, I think that we as a people, we tend to not share the same level of patience. Therefore, the patience to learn one another, to or the respect to listen to the other group. And then, you know, in exchange, they listen to our side of the story. And then how do we agree to disagree or agree to agree? And so that's what it's all about. And then, of course, one may want to control the control mechanism. You know, hey, I have the answer. This is the way it's going to be. I don't know. So at the end of the day, you mentioned gangs, you know, the gang culture. You leave, you know, a lot of the folks who partake in gangs, if you look at their family dynamic, there's, you know, the latchkey kid. Nobody's supervising that kid. You know, I was a latchkey kid. What does that mean to the public? Well, you get out of school and you go home and you let yourself in the house because mama's at work. Daddy's at work. Or daddy's off to the penitentiary, or mama's off doing her thing, whatever the case may be. So you're kind of in charge of yourself, your survival. And so therefore, like-minded individuals, they might gather, hey, nobody's, hey, let's hang out, let's do this, let's do that, let's partake in this kind of event, whether it be negative or positive. You know, we don't have to come in at a certain time. Nobody's supervising us. And so I'm just using that as an example. So therefore, you find kids that, you know, if no one's there teaching them what's right and wrong, therefore they find the family, the gang, the hood is giving us some camaraderie, you know, some love. And we tend to gravitate toward that. But when it's time to do evil or negative activity, now you don't want to lose face. So sometimes you participate. And therefore, so those of us who was able to go, hey, look, I got to go to football practice or I have to do that. Not consciously. You just was a sports figure. So therefore, you're not hanging out all day. You're somewhere else. So I say that to say it's so intricate. Culture, you know, is learned. It's a learned situation. Is from starts from the family, spills out into the community, and so down here we're in the South in Louisiana, and this part of Louisiana we have certain types of food that we eat. If you go to New Orleans, man, it's got all kind of cuisine worldwide known. So and people flock here every year for Mardi Gras, Essence Festival, Jazz Festival. They want to come down and get some of that good food and good music and have a good time. So that's a culture, you know, they want to experience our culture. And so at the end of the day, I just kind of, you know, off the top kind of constructed what I feel is that when these different cultures and subcultures come together, The main thing is how we interact and how we survive amongst each other without, you know, destruction and, you know, destroying one another and that type of thing. Back to the gang example, you know, sometimes there are certain folks within the gang are developed in their intelligence, and therefore they might become like the leader, you know, and I like to say, you know, they maybe used to be leaders back in the old days, but generally speaking, you know, one that would lead others and that have the tenacity and the wherewithal to have some heart and to stick, you know, I'm in charge, and then the people behind them follow them, you know, because they're looking for a father figure or a leader or somebody, a strong personnel that would, you know, that that would take up for them, that kind of thing. And so, and I got their back, you know, just like you'd have your own family's back, you know. So, you know, so it's kind of, so anyway, I may be all over the place with this, but I think that culture is learned, and it starts at the home, and then it spills out into the community. And then the community, of course, you know, there's community, there could be the Black community, and then there's the white community, you know, because white flight, you know, and then people don't want to live with one another, or they move away from one another, you know, because they have these, you know, in their culture, they've been taught that maybe, you know. So anyway, I'm gonna stop right there, and I hope I answered some of your questions.
Yeah, you did a good job. The main thing you said is to learn behavior. That's very important. A learned understanding, and I'm gonna get back into that because some people just think that culture just you know, just drop out the sky, but there's a science to it. What about you, Rashiki?
Well, it's a lot of what Brother Mashinda was talking about. I'll just add to that where it's culture is a changing and evolving thing also, depending on how you, where you are, who you are around. You know, we have built a educational type culture amongst our group here. You know, we've been meeting almost 4 years online, speaking about educational things, having conversation, encouraging, bringing people on with their expertise, sharing. And culture is it could be an evolving thing or changing depending on what's going on. You have dominant culture that kind of controls certain things, like the government. They're kind of in control. So there's a United States culture where we have to do certain things and be in compliance with the, I guess you would call that the greater culture. And then Brother Mashinda mentioned subcultures. And what we're doing here is a subculture. Each home has a subculture. So it's a evolving thing, a changing thing. It's definitely expression. And it's very important to cultures direct the thinking of people, how people think, and how they, you know, are shaped. So it could be technical at times, and it's a metamorphosing type thing. But I'll let you further talk about it, Professor Rock, because I know you have definite specific aspects of culture that you've been teaching about for years.
Yeah, appreciate what both of y'all said, if I understand correctly. Brother, he is here. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, brothers. I'm just sitting out here enjoying the last parts of summer on the porch and trying to get some of this knowledge.
We were just discussing the definition and understanding of what a culture what culture is and how do we look at culture. And I want to get your view on what's going on in Detroit from the standpoint of how y'all, how you think some of these people see culture.
Well, I was listening to this rapper. They made a big thing out of it. I was listening on YouTube and they were talking about culture and how people of African descent in America don't have any culture. These are these hip hop guys, you know. One of the guys was from the Caribbean and his very heroes, I won't say mimic, but follow Black American culture, even all the way down from the suiting, the clothes, and the music, itself, culture, in the arts, creating something unique. The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you speak, the way you dress. I guess today's culture for our young Black people is the gym shoes, huh? They're investing all this money. They're upsetting the stock market with that part of our culture. They're trying to kick the young Black folks off the stock market with this gym shoe. Just shows that, you know, the things that people value. Getting married in gym shoes now. Oh, that would have never happened in my day. But it's forever. They're forever creating it. Every day, it's evolving. It's changing into something different. A lot of it I don't agree with, but for some reason, this culture here, the Black Americans here in America, the Africans are following us. You go over to the Honduras, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just like me talking to a neighbor. It's Black people all over the world. We take a little bit of this and we take a little bit of that, but we seem like we take most of what we get from each other. And then a lot of things are just innate. We never even see each other. The young women over here dance the same way that the young women over in Africa and the same way down in the Caribbean. And this was before the internet. It's culture, man. That's all I got to say about it. Not nothing I really put a lot of thought into. It just is.
All right. That's a good answer. I appreciate what you said, if I understand it correctly. You know, there's many different cultures all over the world. And it depends on where people live. You know, they develop a lifestyle and an understanding of the environment. And they develop themselves within the instruments and tools of their environment. The Nileitic people lived around the water, and African Nileitic people lived by the Nile River. The Sudan people, some people lived in the desert, some people lived in the mountains of Africa. And they developed a lifestyle and an understanding of life, nature, by the environment. And then they live within the context of what nature say you can do and what you can't do. What nature has provided you to live and flourish with versus, you know, what, you know, predicated on your environment. And like language, most people speak language that is spoken and heard in their country or within the context of their family and community. Chinese speak Chinese because that's what's spoken and heard. Japanese speak Japanese because when the child is born, they're in Japan, and that's what's spoken and heard. African Americans speak English because that's what's heard. Many Spanish people speak Spanish because Spain is in Europe. But that's what was spoken and heard. And they pass it on to their children. Way they think, way they operate. Sometimes it's about cultural absorption or acculturation. But I'm gonna get to that in a minute. But we went during the 60s, during the Black Revolt, which we celebrate, Watts Festival and Detroit threw down back there. You know, they took a tank. Them brothers were getting down so bad. And Newark and DC and where you know, after the Watts Rebellion, other people started rebelling. And so the point is that it's a challenge to try to define culture, especially in the context of another culture. In other words, when you grow up in a certain culture, like we grow up in American culture, we have to choose to be African or Afrocentric. And most of our people are dressed and speak and believe in the same thing the European believe in, you know, because that's what they were taught. And that's how they learned to talk while we speak English. And so and why we live a European lifestyle. When you become conscious, you go through history and you go through travel and you try to learn the roots of your culture. And it's very difficult because if you don't know what part of Africa you was from, it's hard for you. You know, you can't just say I practice. Well, you can say I practice an African culture, but Africa is a continent. And there's so many different cultures there and ethnic groups there. It's one of the most diverse continents on the planet. You can't find a nationwide system of cultural practice in Africa because it's 12 million square miles and people develop different views and they generally develop different ethnicities among themselves, and they have ethnic fights all the time. But the point, getting back to the point, 1967, it may have been right after the Watts Rebellion in about 1966, Dr. Karenga said the key crisis in Black people's life is a culture crisis. And we was in the Black Congress and Black trying to develop a Black United Front, and there are people that who fought for civil rights to be able to be better Americans and to get the rights of America. The Americans give European citizens, and to cut down on the discrimination and segregation, and the whole purpose was so that they can benefit from the Eurocentric culture of inclusion. The dynamic is that culture is a ritualization of an existence. The ideology and philosophies are always created. Truth is created. You know, what is true is created by human. Nature has its own truth. You can't even argue with nature. You can't argue with another human being. You can't argue with a tree. You can't argue with the weather. You can't argue with the lifespan. Everybody's gonna die. That's not it. But humans can argue and try to live as long as they can, but eventually they're gonna have to transition. That's where nature is, so that the planet, probably for the existence of humans, that they don't overpopulate, and that they don't, and that they make room for others to come in. So nature has its own parent, family development, family, or what you call Planned Parenthood, with regards to life, infant mortality, and life longevity. But the key crisis in Black life, it extends more than just dance and singing and foods and clothing. There has to be a value system and an ethics system that goes with it. While religious cultures tell you how to live, what to various rituals that they go through, We got Halloween coming up. Now, that has very little to do with Afrocentric culture. That's a European culture. But it's a part of the ritualization of an existence. You can't say Halloween don't exist and there's no such thing of it when you got millions of people practicing it. Yeah, you can come up with a term, they don't know what they're doing. You can come up with a term, oh, that's just the way it is. But culture is really the pluralization of the word cult. A cult is who's doing the believing or the practicing of a certain culture. And the cult is the one in which you are ritualizing and accepting as the creator or the manifestation of that cult. You can argue that there's no such thing as Christianity, but you can't argue that there's not people who proclaim to be Christians. You can say Islam don't exist and there's no such thing as Muslim, but you got a million of them that live a life that they think is called Islam. And that was brought forth by Prophet Muhammad 1500 years ago and extended into a black Islamic tradition with Elijah Muhammad called the Nation of Islam. And even at that, they got different fractions of Muslim. It's like they got different fractions of Christianity, Baptist, Methodist, and all that. People begin to develop offsprings of certain cultures. But when Dr. Corain introduced it to us at the Black Congress back in the 60s, most people didn't want to change and be Afrocentric. They thought it meant like, you know, something that they were foreign to. I'm talking about we had every major group within the Black Congress. But their views and values were Eurocentric, most of them. And so when you introduce that, we don't do that. We want that. We just want to be free to do what we want to do. You know, I mean, and that's it. You didn't want a structure that tells you how to live. Like, let me give you an example. In Islam, they say don't eat pork. Now, there's many winners, nestles, and hot dogs sold in markets and all that, but chitlins, you know, black, a lot of people buy chitlins every New Year. But Muslims don't do that because it's not part of their religious culture to eat pork. And they go through various rituals, Ramadan, where they don't have sex or eat until in the evening. And then they pray five times a day, supposed to, but they pray to the east, west, blah, 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 blah. You know, and deaf black people don't pray at all, don't give no thanks at all because they're not Muslim and they don't practice that. When, you know, so what I'm saying is that culture is a deep and thing, but most ideologies and philosophies that human practice are just things that they create. And they create based upon the environment and the time and era that they are growing up in. And that's why when you talk about street gangs, why do they become a culture? Well, they have a flag, and most people think it's red rag and a blue rag. To the members of that group, that's their flag. They have a dance, they ritualize, the crip walk, the blood stroll. They have prayer, they have a unique funeral service where they pour liquor in with the people and put blue gang affiliated trinkets with them in the casket, and that's them, you know. And, you know, coming up. In order to verify you telling the truth, you used to say, I swear on my mama. The gang members say, I swear on my set. I swear on my homies, you know, and that's a whole new different dynamic than when young people was coming up. And so, you know, that's how deep it is. They, as Mashinda could testify, if you go to juvenile hall or something like that, and they read in a book, if you're blood, you cross out every C you see in a word, in the book, with your pencil or whatever you got to write on. And the same thing with the Christians. They see a B, they carve it in their skin, and they try to come up with sayings and practices to show love and demonstrate identity of their group. Culture do give you identity. It does give you identity. Once you know who you are, it don't matter where you are, because you're going to be you if you practice in your culture. Now, if you're in oppression, sometimes you have to suspend it or go undercover. But you know who you are, and you know your culture. And these are the dynamics that sometimes people don't take into consideration. Halloween, everything you teach your kids not to do, you let them do. You say, don't eat too many sweets, but you take them out there to get sweets. You tell them, don't take things from strangers, but you take them to strange neighborhood to get and say trick or treat. You tell them there's no such thing as ghosts and goblins. And then you go buy costumes that represent ghosts and goblins and devils and latest actors and movie stars with masks and everything, immolating the dead, immolating some fixation. But that's European culture. Christmas is a European culture. You understand? I mean, Thanksgiving, Easter, all of those holidays is the ritualization of Eurocentric existence and practices. And so when we go back to our value system, our ethics, our moral, what dictates it was that wasn't wrong and right, whatever. We always say, why are Black people fighting each other? Why are some Black people fighting each other? Why are some Black people killing each other? Why are some Black people stealing from each other? Well, because that's America. America fight with their people all the time. Civil War, World War I, World War. Right now, Russia and Ukraine, they're the same people. But you don't demonize them for fighting, because they say they're fighting over land. But at the same time, you demonize those that defend themselves against oppression. Like they say in the Palestinians are what they call radical, a bunch of roaches that you can exterminate. You understand? And that's how America got this country. They exterminated millions of Native Americans. But nobody think about it. Because within their culture, it was a manifest destiny. God wanted them to do what they had to do to get this country. And they said, well, we conquered the Wild Wild West. Well, it wasn't wild till they came. You understand? That's what made it wild. Scalping was a European practice, because they started scalping, not the Native Americans, cutting off people's hair. You understand? It's a unique aspect once you get into it, but you learn values and views, philosophies and ideologies from your culture. It teaches you what to do and what not to do. And when you're not in part and you're not in control of your culture, and you become a part of someone else's culture, that's called acculturation. I mean, you are absorbed into another culture. Most African Americans see their culture in song and dance better than other people. Their music is more pleasing to them than Western music, which means white music, or Latino music. That, and you know, even though you can dance if it's an instrumental, but if it's not an instrumental, you don't know what they're saying. But we know what we are saying, because our music went by the eras that we were in. There were freedom songs when we was in captivity, of the Holocaust of enslavement. We wanted freedom. Then, you know, there was a civil rights song. And then there was always religious songs, you know, European religion. And for many African Americans that had been here for 100 years and were not able to find their roots or their maintain their culture. But, you know, so you teach your kids according to the environment that you were in. We were in an American environment. And over 100 years, we ate their food, watched them dance and exemplify their freedom to create and ritualize their culture with holidays and music and economic prosperity and values and views. When many African Americans have accepted that as their culture, but if they dig deeper and read and study, it's something that you have to choose to be, because most likely you're not going to get it from home. And if you do have conscious parents, you know, you may practice it in front of the parent, but once you get out there in society, somebody said the overwhelmingness of the European culture, and not to be considered strange to your own people who are practicing European culture, that you acquiesce to the Eurocentric values and views. And I just want you to see that culture is a very important dynamic in our life, but we have to construct it, reconstruct it, because there's so many variations of Afrocentric culture and the Black culture, based upon a racial identity, came from the experience of racial oppression. We wouldn't even be calling ourselves Black if white people didn't demonize it and make it seem like a bad word, and like Negro and African American. Now you're African American because you're recognizing your heritage, but you're also recognizing where you are when you say you're American and you're in America. So you want to maintain your ethnicity, but at the same time, you don't want to, leave out the fact that you're in America, and you have to sometimes go along with American culture just to escape any further oppression, incarceration, or looked at as a militant or as a strange person. You know, I mean, they adore our Afrocentric dress and Afrocentric value system, but at the same time, they have problems with regards to if we get too African and too cultural expressions. You know, I when I was on the city council in Compton, he used to call me the N-word with the dashiki. Here come that N with the dashiki. And they wearing, you know, Eurocentric clothes. I never responded. Because, you know, I don't call people names, and that's not part of my values. I just kept being me. You know, and that's the difference. It's hard for your children and young people to be Afrocentric in a Eurocentric environment, because all they see on television, on the computer, on TikTok, you know, is Eurocentric value. And the promotion of Afrocentric value go by the wayside. There are many sacred texts that the European borrowed from to create and expand Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Same value, you can go back in ancient times of African people, where they were developing social development and to how we treat each other, how we love each other, how we develop ourselves, how we prosper. And you know, everybody's not going to participate, and you're going to have some drop off. But at least the majority of the people sometimes know who they are and what they're about. So I'm going to let y'all respond to that. Machinda, you have a response? Are you there, Machinda?
I am there. No, I mean, you're pretty much breaking it down. You know, I don't have a follow-up, actually. You know, I mean, you covered it. So I'm going to let somebody else.
Like a lot of Afrocentric people speak Swahili. Why did they choose Swahili? Because that's one of the most common languages that most Africans speak on the continent. It's not germane to any specific ethnic group, but Swahili is a word that many people speak in this country who are Afrocentric. You know, Habaigani, what's the new? Rather than hi. You know, tuta nada, bye, I'll see you later. You understand? Tafadali, please. Thank you. You understand? But most people are learning languages for money reasons. I learned to speak Spanish because they're being heavily populated in certain states. And I give me a shot at a better job. And it's more of a skill than associated with your culture. But you have any response? Are you there? Ahi?
Trying to get this phone together. No, as Machinda said, brother, you covering it, you know. You're covering it. Our culture is ever changing, and our culture comes from our experience, where we are and what affects us, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's profound. It's profound. Yeah. I initially, when I was talking about culture and, you know, how it, I think I'm just going to wait until you get finished talking from now on. So that's what I got to say about that.
Yeah, but let me just tell you this, brother. You have a wealth of knowledge, brother. Then something just went down in Detroit. I can't remember I was going to ask you about it. I can't remember. It was some political. But anyway, you know, we are beautiful people with a lot of diversity. People, as I say, there's no one central Afrocentric culture, but you can take from each of, see, the Black Olympic. They say Olympics started from Mount Olympia in Greece, but that's incorrect. Some books say they don't know where it started. But it definitely started on the continent. But it was about cultural exchange, coming together every 4 years to celebrate the death of loved ones over that 4 year period. And how you celebrate their death? You play their favorite song, you eat their favorite foods, and you reflect on them and the best of them. Sayings or expressions, and you compete in games that they love to play. And that's how Olympics, matter of fact, the continent of Africa was once called Olympia, not Olympus. But anyway, those are the dynamics. But you have to search history and read, and it's not going to be taught in European schools, because they believe their cultures are superior to all. Even if it's wicked, kill people, take their land. You know, they don't say they stole this land from Native Americans. They say it was God manifested destiny. That don't even make sense. Why God gonna be a real estate agent and designate that you can come from your country and come over here and kill all the people and take their country? What kind of God is that? You know, I mean, And the same thing with other Europeans that are taking out, like the Jewish people over in Palestine. You know, everything was peaceful. Palestine was flourishing. And the European, German, Judaism is not a race or a nation. It's a religion, you know, but they turned it into a nationality and got the world feeling sorry for them like they victims. When, you know, ain't nobody gonna dispute that 6 million of them are a bunch of them were killed by Hitler. But that's the same family dispute. Those were German Jews that were killed. They weren't like African. Well, Hitler wanted to kill everything that he thought was not blonde and blue-eyed and even that. He didn't even have that. But anyway, Roger T, you still there? Well, you may have stepped away for a minute. But the point is that our life, let me get into that. If our culture was to teach our people to love each other, don't fight, don't steal, don't rob, you know, that's something you learn that's ingrained in you. That's something you teach your children. And you monitor and make sure that they don't be sucked in by other people, like D-Dog and Wild Dog. Yeah, Rashiki, we were just saying, you have any other comment on some of the things I was saying?
No, really, no comments. It was beautifully put, and people need to think about what you're saying, because the understanding that people have could be limited, and it's like you said, it's a wide variety of things that could be attached to culture. And then you with popular and dominant culture, it could be a little overwhelming, and people could be easily influenced to follow cultural practices that doesn't benefit them. So
you went to reggae festival and music shows, and you brought it back and you shared it with the people.
Yes.
The reggae music is different from rhythm and blues. Is that fair to say?
Oh, it's different. It's different, but it related.
Well, it got a message in it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it's different. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, okay. The same thing with African music on the continent by the different ethnic group. It's different than rhythm and blues in America. Because they didn't go through what we went through. And they're not living in a racial dynamic. That's why we call it black music. The other day they were saying, you know, Karen Bass is the first black woman to get the flag for the Olympics. She's the mayor. Why did you say she's the mayor of Los Angeles, who's an African American? This is the mayor of Los Angeles getting the flag, and she's one of the first women to get it. What difference does it make what color she is? You understand? She was representing Los Angeles. What more you want? You understand? But it's like downgrading the value of her getting it by acting like you're praising her for getting it. In other words, there's a devaluation of black experience and black people in this society. So the European use it in a negative way. We use it as a rallying call for unity. But the European has always practiced deprivation of us as a people, teaching us self-hate and teaching the society to hate us. And that they could step on us or abuse us and get away with it. Like I told them during this Latasha early, Latasha, the girl that was killed for getting the soda.
Latasha Harlins.
Harlan. It was a After the court ruled that they got probation, the woman was going to get probation for killing her over orange juice. The jury had found her guilty, but the judge brought a sentence of probation. So they said, they interviewed me because I was out there with the rally. And I told them, I said, racism is not the Asian woman that shot her. Racism is the court that let her go free, devaluating her life. That didn't mean nothing. It's not worthy. They send people who get drunk and have wrecks to prison, but they're going to let this Asian woman go because the lady that was the judge was European, and that's what they have done. In the book, Criminals, not Crime and Criminals in America, by I think it was Charles Silverman, he said that black life is not valuable. That's why they started the Black Lives Matter movement, because people would kill them, police would kill them, and they said, we're having an investigation. Now, they don't do that much now because of the rebellions that have happened because of police killing them. But for years, they were saying, hey, we have to have an investigation. And y'all just only got one side, but then cameras came. And now they can't dispute things. If it wasn't for the cameras and George Floyd, or Michael Brown, or any other killing, you wouldn't get the type of justice you get. Netflix say Rodney King, cameras. You know, they was, thought they was getting away with it in the darkness. A ritualization of beating, you know. I mean, it was totally insane what they was doing to that man. Talking about, they felt threatened the way he was grunting. You know, could you imagine that? The sounds he was making was threatening to them while they were beating. And so that was their defense in court, and they got off. And then the federal government charged them with civil rights violations. So they got 2 or 3 years, which they only had to do half of that. And they're out. You understand? So racism is a system of government. And European empowerment that devalue black lives and other minority lives. But from a cultural standpoint, how do you get pride in being African in a white society? How do you get love? You know, many of us act different than our mothers and fathers, you know, and our brothers and sisters, and sometimes our own children. See us struggling to be Afrocentric, but they don't want to be that. You understand? You try to practice black values, Afro, even nutritional values. Eat right, eat favorable. Let's stay out them fast food. They don't want to hear that because they absorb into the society from a cultural standpoint. But that's about it.
Rashid,
what we got going tomorrow?
No show tomorrow. Okay. We're going to be on next Wednesday, and Brother Tawara is coming on with the part three of the new faculty of thinking, A Time for Action. So that's what we have next week. Nothing tomorrow. We're off tomorrow.
Sherrod was going to do that.
Yes.
Okay. My program next Tuesday is going to feature Danny Taylor. He started the first youth BAPAC, Black American Political Association, coalition, BAPAC. And he was a councilman for Englewood for a long time. And he's Dr. Tabor now, he went and got his PhD. But he's very active on Long Beach State campus in this, in the 80s. And we're going to, he's going to do a presentation on Black men for Kamala Harris. And he's trying to lead that in the state of California. But she's going to win California no matter what. Democrats always do that. But he's trying to make a statement. So he'll be on next Tuesday, Danny Tabor, Dr. Danny Tabor.
Okay. Well, all right. We're going to take our pause.
I'm going to think of what I was going to ask you about Detroit. There was something that happened in Detroit.
Okay, I guess you're forcing me to watch the news. I was against it. I was against watching the first 5 minutes, but now you're forcing me to watch. Okay, I'll see you brothers next week.
All right, brother.
All right.
All right.
All right, we're going to take our calls.
Next Tuesday. All right.
Each one teach one in Conscious Corner.
All right, brother.
All right.
All right.